إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله يقين. الحمد لله. In the series of the Muslim family, we reach the end of one segment, and inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will and give me the life and the ability, we will start a brand new part of it, like a part two. So today in the khutbah, inshallah, I will try to summarize, give a very brief summary about what happened in the last year. Probably took almost a year, this series, till we get to this point. Basically, for building the Muslim family, the summary or the sum of all of those khutbah, they can be identified in five major points. The first point is yourself. Is how you yourself prepare yourself to be a member of a family now, which is you are your father and mother and whatever, you are a member of the family, and later on to be a part of, a head of a family. How are we going to do that? There is one verse in the Holy Quran, that's the level of maturity that you and I supposed to be driving to all the time. So it's obvious, you do not think about marriage till you are ready. And from our perspective, you are physically ready when you are adult, healthy, and sane. You think good, you have a faculty, you have a healthy body, and you are adult. And economically, when you are able, you trade, whatever you have, but you can earn a living. And reasonable living that you can open, spend at least the daily need for your family, 24 hours need of your family, and you have a means to earn a living. That's the minimum. But spiritual and religious, how we know the qualification? Okay, let us, before we go to this, agree to one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ordain on us prayer and fasting and the principle of Islam, which is after the declaration of the feast, the fasting and the zakah and the prayer and the hajj for themselves, to be themselves a goal. You do, and after that your life is completely and your behavior separated from them, and that is done. No. These are nothing but tools. The job of those tools is to clean you up, to build you up. And if they are not doing it, there is something wrong. There is something wrong if there is a separation between when you say Allahu Akbar and stand up, the status you are in it, and the status when you are talking to your brother. If they are different, there is something wrong. You did not allow the prayer to develop you enough. It is merely ceremonies, merely rituals. And that's not what it meant it to be. The prayer has a certain function. The fasting has a certain function. The zakah has a certain function. And inshallah, we'll be talking about them by detail. But let me just mention one very quick. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The salah will stop you from the wrongdoing. If the salah does not stop you from the wrongdoing, what's so good about doing it? The worst crime happened in the history of the mankind, happened by the name of religion and the name of God. The worst crime. Because the thing, the person that is doing it or the group is doing it, they think what they are doing is right. And they have a religious justification for what they do. And that is one of the real bad crimes. So, going back, if we agree that for the development of the Muslim character, that the one is getting ready for to be a head of a household, need to prepare himself, There is a verse in the Holy Quran, it has to be the focal point. It has to be the starting point. What is that verse? Says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. Oh say, صلاتي, my prayer, نسكي, all my ceremonial rituals, all my life and all my death belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Automatically, who is your master? Allah. The case is closed. Where are you? You don't see yourself anymore. You know yourself. You recognize yourself, but you do not see yourself anymore. And listen to that status and that state at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا. They did not say, let us think about it. Let us comprehend it and we will do it. سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا. Nothing in between. Between سَمِعْنَا, we hear and we obey. Nothing in between. That's the status that you as a head of a household, you're supposed to be in it. So you are driving you yourself, because you cannot help others if you don't know how to help yourself. If you cannot help others to develop themselves, if you don't know how to develop yourself, especially the young, they are mimicking what you do. They are copying what you do. And another thing, there is no such thing called too late. Or I can't do it. I know they are in the Webster dictionary, but they are not on the Muslim dictionary. They do not exist there. We don't know them. We heard about them. We understand what they mean, but they don't belong to a Muslim. So the first thing is you are drive. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. You are gearing toward that, to develop that state all the time, all the time, to develop that and to be in that. That is the level that you're supposed to be in to qualify yourself, or at least to be driving to that level to qualify yourself to be a head of a household. Having money is not enough. Being physically fit is not enough. Having both does not qualify you, and you are not. But you have to have that one also, so you will be able to do the job. So the first is yourself. What is the second? The second element in the whole thing is the process of selecting your spouse. Who is your spouse? We know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the nature of this relationship and why. In Surah Ar-Rum. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, he is part of his mercy as one of his sign that he created from your own mate. And he made among you a peace and tranquility so you can come to the state of sukoon, tranquility in it. But let us get it a little bit more plain. What I need my spouse in my life for? What is the value of my spouse in my life? As long as I'm as a Muslim having one goal, and everything in my life revolving around that goal, whomever gonna come to my life, I want them to help me to accomplish that goal. That's fair. And also, when I'm gonna go to somebody's life, I supposed to be ready to help that person, the wife or the husband, to accomplish that goal. What is that goal? Use the gift of life to qualify to Allah's mercy in this life and the hereafter. So what is the value of my spouse in my life? To help me. And I help her. Or The husband and the wife help each other. So each one of them will be more obedient. And we already agree from day one in this series, the nature of the structure, the nature of the relationship, it is all in temporary basis. Later on, لا أنساب بينهم. Nothing gonna be, everybody coming in his own. Everybody by his own. So I need my spouse in my life to help me to be more obedient. And if you wanna evaluate how healthy this relationship is, that's the only measure that you use. You don't use other measures like I'm happy, we go out, we have a lot in common, we go to movie together. That's all nice. I don't have any problem with that. But don't forget what the main reason is. You buy the car not to drive the car. You buy the car to take you from point A to point B. If I'm having a car and it is running all over the city and I'm not going from point A to point B, what I need the car for? So, the spouse. Number two, the spouse, the partner. And Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu was salam, I'm not going to keep repeating because of the time, the references to that, we all know how Sayyidina Muhammad taught us to select the spouse. The criteria that he put, the four criteria, and he said, taribat yadaka bizat al-deen. That means the best thing is the one that you, when you select the one with the having the piety and the fear of Allah and the knowledge and the religious knowledge. And also for the sister, when she is selecting the husband, he put the same, also the same standards. Not only that, but the Quran also specified and identified clearly in this. And that's inshallah, that's part of the miracle, the miracle of the Quran. The miracle of the Quran. You see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming in one single verse. Maybe that verse is about maybe 10 or 15 or less or more words. But that verse can reshape the face and the history of humanity. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicating, we know that since Adam and Eve, we classified ourselves to classes. And we do not socialize with each other, based on these classes. And what is the bottom line of having classes between human beings? Ana khayrun min, I am better than you. That's the bottom line. This is better than that, and that is better than that, and that is better than that. And here you go. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He came and in one single verse, He did a double wham. Double hit. The first hit, he said, no classes, go home. خيركم عند الله أتقاكم, the best by piety, go home. There is no inferior and superior here. Out. And the second, he also in the same verse give the mean how to do that. When he recommended to the whole thing, he said, if you married from a female, she's a slave and she's a believer, in the eyes of Allah she is better than a free and honorable woman, and she is not. And he recommended the same for what? For the sisters. He said, if you marry a slave and that slave having the piety and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's better than you, a free man, and that free man is what? He's not a believer. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breaking it? He's saying no slaves and no free men. Everybody is free. That's number one. Because what's going to come the fruit out of this, of that relationship? You're going to come children. And before you know it, if you give it the time, that's one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filtered the slavery. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without he waved away and canceled the concept of slavery from the Muslim Ummah by allowing that type of marriage and teach us how to accept each other. Now, that's the son of that, and that's the brother of that, and that's the sister of that. That's we all, the blood got mixed with each other. That's it. الخيركم عند الله أتقاكم, the best by piety. So there is no more classes, and there is no one is better than other, and there is no one social better than the other, and there is no one color better than the other, and there is no one size better than the other, and there is no one family or power better than other. No criteria. That's it. And the mean to do it, he allowed the marriage. So that is, when you are building a family, that is one of the options that it must be open in your culture. And you are, when you are selecting your spouse. So that's the element number two. The element number three, which is, we already agreed upon it, it is the milestone, the major milestone that all the activities in the family must revolve around it. Must revolve around it. And you are responsible for it. And when you're going to be trialed, you're going to be trialed by it. And when you're going to be evaluated, you're going to be evaluated by it. Which is that verse what it says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordain. Ordain, that means order. Order, that means what? You don't have options. يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ, that means you give everybody his right. I give a whole entire khutbah about that verse. But very quickly, I am obligated to give everybody his right. I like him, I hate him, it doesn't make any difference. He is fair or not fair to me, it wouldn't make any difference. But how am I going to get my own right? I'm a human being too, and I like somebody to care about me too. I like to get my right once in a while. Where am I going to get my own right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب. اللهم اجعلنا منهم يا رب العالمين. He says, no, you need to live higher level of maturity here. The one you work for Allah, don't expect to be paid from other than the one you work for. If you work for people, it is fair to expect it from them. If you work from others, it is fair. It is fair to expect the return, the salary, whatever, the return from whom I work for. It is not fair to work for people and expect the return from Allah. And it is not fair to work for Allah and expect the return from people. You are doing everybody and giving everybody his right regardless. That's the level that you and I have to drive to get into it. I'm going to give you your right with a lot of confidence that I'm going to get mine. If you are not going to give it to me, it is still fine. Allah will give it to me. Allah will double it for me. So you have the confidence. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Al-Ihsan, it means what? Al-Ihsan, that means you are doing, you are giving everything, or what you are doing, it meets the specification. It meets the quality. And little bit more. So it's like somebody get what? Get A plus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, I want you to drive all the time when you are giving everybody his right, to behave A plus. But they didn't give me my right, A plus. They didn't do the job for you, you do the job for them. And don't say, I'm going to give them what they deserve. Because that's taken away from you. Taken away from your build, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. Any one of us can be any, can be like and bad and more worse than your adversary, the one that who violated you. That's nothing. But the true challenge is not to let anybody indicate agenda on you or make you behave as a reaction. The minute anyone can make you make reaction, they win, regardless what that reaction is. Justifiable or not justifiable, it wouldn't make any difference. The minute you reacted against your will, against what Allah wants you to do, as an action and reaction, you lost. What you lost? You lost yourself. So here is al-ihsan. وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَةِ إِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَةِ here mean what? It could have been like in the explanation, وَذِي الْقُرْبَةِ But وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَةِ that mean what? When it comes down to your relatives, it is not good enough to give them the right. But you need to be proactive. You are the one all the time who will take the initiative. You don't wait. You are af, or by another word, you are all the time checking in because you are ita'id al qurba. That means you're going to be after the qurba. And I explained the qurba before, and it is not necessary only the blood relationship. The one next door is al qurba also, in generic meaning of the Arabic language. The one sitting next to me in the office is also the qurba. Because the qurba, it means near to you. And that can be blood or can be not blood. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَنْهَى يَنْهَى that means what? Not only stop, but means what? Don't get to the neighborhood where you find yourself gonna do or don't do. الْفَحْشَاء What is the فَحْشَاء? The fahsha is the shameful deed. Your nature know that it is no good. And everybody else will say it is no good. That's the fahsha. Wal munkar. Al munkar is this also, it is all in the area of forbiddance, but it is what inside you. Regardless what, how healthy or how bad or how sick or how healthy your conscience is, we're revolted. We're not accepted. We'll treat it as a poison inside and we'll throw it away. Al-munkar. That means your nature refuses it. Not only the etiquettes or what is common in the community, but it will be rebuked. It will, your nature is supposed to rebuke. The worst part, if your nature will accept, that can show you how bad is it. Who would like to take advantage of orphans? Little orphans. How you justify that? How you can live with that? Maybe the shameful, you got drunk and you did indecent behavior. But the other category, you don't even to be religious person to deny it. Your nature will. Subhanallah, I just saw right before I come in here in YouTube, it was a big earthquake, right? Probably it was yesterday or the day before. Big, huge earthquake in China. And they just they snapped the shot for a monkey. Monkey carrying a little baby dog. And taking it and run away by it from the earthquake place. I think monkey and dogs, they are not very friends. But when it comes to babies, the instinct whatever the instinct you want to call it in that monkey, carry that baby away from the danger. How about you? And how about you when you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and you go and do it? Inna Allah yanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar wal baghi. And what is the baghi? The baghi is the act of rebellion. Act of rebellion against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained. An act of rebellion against whom promote the act, who promote what Allah ordained. Going against prophets and messenger, act of what? Baghi. Going against what the Quran and the Sunnah do or say, baghi. Going against a true good imam, baghi. That's all baghi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those three to do and for those three to not to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, this is the core where the family will grow. If you look a little bit, you will never see any school teaching those things. The only school that it can teach this is the mother and the father, and in home, and day in and day out. Sometimes by love and sometimes by discipline. So that's the number three. Number four. And I give one khutbah about only number four. Number four, when Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divide and he identified how to deal with your child, and he divided this relationship to three categories, three segments. The first segment from 1 to 7, and the second from 7 to 14, and the other one from 14 to 21. We have to, I explained in the previous khutbah what are the stages and why those ages, and subhanAllah, to make the first, the ultimate goal is to make the child love you and trust you as a source of love, so he can observe from you what is right and wrong and listen to you. Make him love you. And how he gonna love you? He's gonna simply love you when he knows that you are a source of appreciation to him, that you love him. He's gonna listen to you. We can, when we are dependent, when you are small and young, when we grow up and we can earn our own living, maybe we can ignore or I can afford, I'm not saying right or wrong here, staying away from what we don't like. But no one ever will give away source of love. And maybe sometimes this is why you see a gray hair person and attached to the mother and the father. I cannot, no one, that's our nature. I cannot afford making the one who loved me angry. I cannot make him sad. I don't want to lose him. That's it. That's the first 7 years. The second 7 years, now he's ready like a sponge. Alimun, teach them. Discipline them. Show them what is right and what is wrong. And they will be self-motivated to do what you say out of love, because they want to please you. They don't want to lose the source of love. And the last and the third stage, which is this now, they are mature. But they are missing one very important quality, is the ability to take decisions and to make reasonable mistakes under your guidance where you can help them. We do not want mimic. Allah, if you want to mimic, he would make one carbon and he create all of us like. Your job is to help that person to be himself or herself. And in the last stage, to help them to take decisions, to make their own, but under your guidance. So you act here as what? Advisory. Not a friend. I am selecting the words. Friend, my friend is the one who go alone. But advisor is the one who gonna tell me. But he doesn't take a decision for me. He's helping me that I can make up my mind. He's teaching me how to make decisions. And that's your job. And after 21, you want to have a friend, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Your job is done. So now that's number 4. What is number 5? Ar-Raja. Nothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is teaching us. Nothing. It can be done. The last step of any good deed you do, whatever that good deed is the hope of Allah acceptance and hope of Allah help. You yourself hope and ask Allah all the time to help you. How to do it right? And when you do it right and you know that it is right, you ask Allah to accept it from you. That part must exist in every and anything we do. You end up anything you do by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept and forgive the shortcoming. I talked a lot about other weak points that we do, and inshallah very quickly in the second part of the khutbah I will also try to mention them. But let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing, and ask Allah to bless our gathering, forgive our sin, and help us inshallah to be better Muslim. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. And part of the series also I talked about red lines, that red areas, no one to go there. And when I mean no one to go there, that means it is not to go there. You are a head of a household or the youngest kid on the block, couldn't make any difference. No one to go there. Number one, Allah right is not a subject of talk about or compromise. Whatever Allah said it is forbidden, it is forbidden. Whatever said to do, to do. We are not going to talk about that. That's not a subject of discussion. There is no may and might. And we, to apply that, we know that you're going to have to be the role model in your family. And your own role model is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if you think that you can apply rule number one without having the whole entire world against you and challenging you, one of the two, either you are angel and you are doing it because of your nature, or there's something mega wrong, very wrong in the way you comprehend and apply. If it comes that easy, you are a challenge every single second. Allah right, we don't compromise. The second major one, red line, we do not need more copies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wants to make copy, He would have made it. Please do not try to make your son or make your daughter like you, because they are not and they will not. And the biggest disaster of the Muslim Ummah, because of they are. We try to disarm them, take away from them their own intuition, their own faculty, their own character, and make bodies say yes sir and yes ma'am. And what they end up doing, I'm not going to speak about, everybody knows where we stand. Why? Because you created people. People with a submissive mentality and captured soul. And this is not how Allah created us. And this is not what Allah wanted us to do. And I said it before, no one gonna love your child as much as you do. And no one gonna harm your child as much as you do. No one gonna love him more. And no one gonna harm him more. You have to know when, where is the end of your character and where is the beginning of his or her character. When you recognize their character, you are teaching them to respect their character. And when they respect the character, they defend on their character. And when they defend on their character, that means they learn to say no. Not wrong things, because your job is to teach them to say when to say yes and when to say no. And when you take that away from them and you are coming complaining, they do not obey me. Okay, with my all due respect, when I see a parent coming to me with a social problem and I hear the golden statement, and it ring in my ear, they used to be a good kid, but they do not disobey me anymore. That's automatically, it get it translated to my own head, I'm right or wrong, maybe. Brother or sister, if you yourself in a state of obedience to Allah, you will never get to this point. If you yourself in a state of obedience to Allah, Allah will make them listen to you. Why? Because it's going to be engagement of souls, not engagement of bodies, not engagement of minds. It's going to be engagement of souls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them obey. So these are major red lines and major no-nos. We're supposed to stay away from it. Inshallah, I'm going to finish the khutbah by, I hope, I tried in the first part of this series to do something. Maybe some it was right, and that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there is any shortcoming, it is from me and it is from shaitan. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And I hope whomever will listen to the tapes, which is, may Allah bless Dr. Ali for doing it on the internet. And if you see something wrong, please, something that I said wrong, something is not explanatory, or something giving a different meaning, just call Dr. Ali or call me and let us know. And probably we will do the correction for it. Why? Now, because we are going to be moving, inshallah, from next khutbah. From now, that's the work plan. That's what we need. Now we need to know how we're going to do it. How it will be done. It is not a philosophy anymore, and it is not a concept anymore, and it is not just words. Now we want to go with the work plan. And this work plan, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Quran put it. And we will go through it one stage at a time. That means what? That means if you listen to this khutbah, or you attend the khutbah, and here you have a chance to come, inshallah,
and you pick up the main element of every single khutbah, and you say, I'm going to go home this week, and I'm going to enforce that concept. I'm going to try to work with my family in that concept. Inshallah, things will be, we all will be moving with each other. Inshallah ta'ala. So please make dua that we all going to be successful. And that work, inshallah, will be accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there is any shortcoming in it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us and show us the right thing to do, to say, and inshallah, to do what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill our mission, and we do our job in raising a new generation. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance, and ask Him to bless our gathering and forgive all our sin, all our shortcoming, and help us to be a better believer, and help us to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and apply in our life so we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Firdaus al-A'la. Ibad Allah, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة.